Good to be here with all of you. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Christ the King Sunday is from Matthew chapter 25. And that is page 921 in your pew Bibles. Sorry about the projector issues, but we'll get that figured out when we get the new screen next month. So that's, Matthew 25, and our reading begins with verse 31, and we read through 46, the end of the chapter of Matthew 25. And we do read this in the name of our Lord, the King. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This is, it can be looked at as kind of a heavy portion of Scripture because of what we're dealing with and the things that Jesus says here. But it is, nonetheless, is necessary for us to hear this. And today is Christ the King Sunday, and this is the gospel lesson for today. And so we go through this about once a year, this reality of the judgment and how that this is an event that is going to take place. This Sunday is interesting because it's the last Sunday, actually, in the church year. Christ the King Sunday is where the church year ends, and then next Sunday we pick up with Advent, which is, of course, the first Sunday of the church year. Something that's interesting about it is that the church year ends and begins with the same thing. Because, as you know, Advent, the word means coming. And the focus of Advent is on the coming of Jesus Christ. And here we end the church year with the same thing. And so it's like a wonderful circle. And it's all about Jesus Christ. Today we pick up in Matthew 25. Two Sundays ago we left off in Matthew 25. We did the first 13 verses. We did the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And we're going to see that today this text is really a continuation of all the things that Jesus was teaching there. It's all part of the what they call the great eschatological discourse. Big fancy terminology, but it's just like the Jesus teaching about the last things. Because the disciples had come to Jesus and they said, "Tell us about the end of the world. We want to know about the end of the world. What's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" And so then Jesus got up and he told them all about it. And so what we read here is the very end of that speech of Jesus. And so Jesus is talking about his second coming. And he says, picking up with the first verse in our text, that when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Now, it's something about the end of the world is important. Something that's important for us to realize is that when we're talking about the end of the world, we're not talking about a time period. We're not talking about world events. We're not talking about political figures, you know, trying to fight for power. None of that stuff is really what Jesus teaches about the end of the world. But when we're talking about the end of the world, we're talking about a person. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the end of the world. And Jesus tells us about it here. And we get quite a magnificent description from Jesus about his second coming. He says that there will be glory, there will be angels, and there will be a throne of glory. Quite an image that he gives us there. And one thing that we'll notice about his second coming, as he describes it for us here, is that there's many similarities to his first coming. Remember when Jesus came the first time, how was it announced? There was angels there. Right? There was angels that came in the sky. And there was glory there. It says that the glory of the Lord was shining all around the shepherds and they were afraid. You know, so that his second coming will be the same sort of thing. There will be angels there with him. There will be glory. There will be a throne. And when Jesus came the first time, he came as a king. And the wise men, they brought him gifts. They were searching for the king, and they gave this king gifts. Well, it's the same thing in the second coming, but he's going to be sitting on his throne. It says he will be seated on his throne. And now repeatedly throughout the Gospels, we see this thing of the kingdom of heaven. How many times do you see that in the Gospels? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is always teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. When John the Baptizer and Jesus, both of them, when they begin their ministry, that's what they begin with. They say, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is close. It's here." When Jesus tells many, many parables, he teaches what the kingdom of heaven will be like. So we got in Matthew 13, we have all the kingdom parables. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. He's always talking about it. So we would almost think the kingdom of heaven is important, wouldn't we? Jesus talks about it all the time. Well, here in our text, we have the kingdom of heaven coming. And that's what the throne is all about. The throne, of course, tells us that this is stuff about a king, because a throne is a place where a king sits. And this is stuff about the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus, he comes in this magnificent way. And so when this king comes, Jesus says that before him will be gathered all the nations. So all these nations will be gathered together. And this tells us that there's no favorite group of people. There's no favorite nation. Not even the Finns are the favorite ones. They're all gathered together equally. Everyone will be called before him. And Jesus tells us that he's going to, this king, who is Jesus, the Son of Man, he's going to start separating people. People from all these nations. All the people will be gathered, and he'll start separating them. Just like a shepherd would separate sheep out from goats. Because shepherds are, you know, their thing is sheep, because they're shepherds. They're not goat herds. They're not trying to get goats. Well, Jesus, when he comes, he's going to separate all the people, just in the same way a shepherd would divide between goats and sheep. He's going to separate out the ones who belong to his kingdom, to the kingdom of heaven. And the ones who don't will be put on the other side. That's why he says that he will put the sheep on the right side and the goats on the left. Now in the Bible we have this thing of the right hand. It's always talked about as like the side of favor, the right side. And the left side is always looked at as like the weak side. And so that's why the sheep are put on the favored side. And so that's what he'll do. He's going to separate all these people. And the king, Jesus tells us, the king will say to those on his right, come. He's going to invite them to come. Now this is always the message of the kingdom of heaven. Come. How many times do we see that in the Gospels? We see it already in the Old Testament. With Isaiah, when he says, come, buy wine and milk without money or price. You know, there's always this invitation, come. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. In the parable of the marriage supper, there's an invitation given, come to the marriage. Come to the wedding. When Jesus invites the little children to come to him, he says, let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God. You see, there's always this invitation to come. That's the message of the kingdom, is this invitation. And so that's why Jesus gives it to those ones that are separated out on his right hand. He says, come, you blessed of my Father. And notice he doesn't say, you will be blessed. But he says, they already are blessed. You are blessed of my Father. He says that they are blessed from the very foundation of the world. Because Jesus Christ, he's the sacrifice. It tells us that he's the lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. And so that this whole thing is God's plan. And this is a blessing that is from the foundation of the world. Like God always planned on doing this. And so that's what we heard about it actually in our scripture reading. From Ephesians 1, when it talked about the glorious inheritance of the saints. That's what Jesus is saying here. That he'll say, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's this great inheritance that they're given. He says, for I was hungry and you fed me. Now, this amazing thing that the king, he starts to praise this blessed group of people on his right side. He starts to praise them for all the things that they had done for him in their lives. If you can just imagine being there, there's this great event that happens. This king comes down on this throne, and like this great person comes. He's the king. And then he starts telling them about all this stuff that these people had done for him. And they're like, really? We did all this for you? And he says, yeah. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous ones, those ones that are on his right side, they answer and they say, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come visit you? They don't recall ever having done that. They don't know anything about what he's talking about. And you know why that is? It's because in the kingdom of heaven, there's this thing called grace, which is unearned favor. See, in the kingdom of heaven, this whole idea of earning favor, where you keep track of the things that you do so that you can get rewarded for the stuff you do, that whole idea of earning favor is totally just thrown out the window. Doesn't exist in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of grace. So that in the kingdom of heaven, it's just understood that God freely gives us everything. And he tells us to give it out just as freely. So that there's love, there's good works, there's forgiveness. All of those things that Jesus Christ, this King, in this kingdom of heaven, all those things that he's given to us, we just freely give those out. There's no keeping track of anything like that. It's just overflowing. And so that's why these blessed ones on his right side, they don't know anything about this. They're like, we don't even understand what it is you're talking about. You know, we've just lived in your grace. That's all we've done. So we don't understand this. And so the king, he tells them about it. He says that the king will answer them, and he'll tell them, verily, or with certainty, I'm telling you, as you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now here's a moment where each one of us here can pause and think about somebody who you don't think is very important. Somebody who you think is the least, maybe. It could be somebody that's hurt you in some way. It could be somebody that, for whatever reason, you just don't think is all that important. That's who Jesus is talking about. Jesus says, the least of these, whoever you think is not important, everything you did to that person, you did to me. What Jesus is saying is that nowhere you will find a person that I don't care for intimately. Because he laid down his life for every single human being. Everybody. Even those people who you thought of, who you don't think are all that important. Jesus cares for them. Whatever you do to that person, you do to Jesus Christ. He is in your fellow human being because he died for every human being. And so, if that's not a lesson for all of us to share the love of Jesus Christ and to live in his love, as Jesus says in the parable of the vine and the branches, that if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. We abide and we stay in Jesus' love. What he has done for us, we live in that. And we bear fruit. And that fruit goes to everyone around us. And that's really what Jesus is dealing with here, with these ones who are blessed. They had borne fruit. They had done good things. That was evidence that they were living in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't even know it. You see, it didn't take any effort on their part because Jesus is the one, he's the source of all this. He's the vine and everything flows from him. And so now we get this transition. Jesus turns to the group that separated out on his left side now. And he speaks to them. He says, go away, cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Two things are true about this group on the left side. Their end is tragic, and their end is completely unnecessary. Didn't need to happen. You see, Jesus tells us that the eternal fire is not prepared for any human beings, but it's prepared for the devil and his angels. When we hear this and we read this place in the Bible, sometimes we get these silly ideas about this. We think somehow that Jesus is telling us that, like, now there's a chance that I'm going to have to go to hell and be punished forever. It's absurd that we would think that. This is a warning, okay? This is a warning so that we don't end up there. Now, if you look at it like the same way as if you're driving down the road, right, and there's a bridge that's out ahead, and you come across this sign that says, the bridge is out ahead, what are you going to do with that sign? Are you going to drive along and say, well, I guess there's a chance I'm going to end up dying in the river and just keep bombing along? No, of course, you wouldn't do that. But you're going to take heed. You're going to, the bridge is out. I better not do this. I better turn around. And you're not going to go blowing through all the barricades just to drive off the bridge. You know, why don't we look at this the same way? because that's what this is. This is a warning. This is a warning from Jesus. And the whole point of this isn't some sort of like a thing where he's telling us, well, there's all this stuff that's predetermined and you're probably going to, you know, there's a chance you might end up there. That's not what the point is. The point is to warn us so that nobody ends up there. The point is to prevent the tragedy. That's the whole point. This tragedy that doesn't need to happen. And so the king, he turns to those who are on his left side, and he goes through the same list with them. He says, yeah, I was hungry. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger. You didn't take me in and welcome me. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You didn't visit me. And of course, they answer the same thing. When did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger, naked, in prison, sick, all those things, and didn't minister to you? When was it that happened? And Jesus tells them the same thing. With certainty I'm telling you, verily I say to you, as much as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And then he says simply that these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat this at all. He says that if you aren't in my kingdom, and that's what it means if you're that group that's separated out on the other side. It means that you aren't in his kingdom. His kingdom is a place where sin is all forgiven, where grace is overflowing, and where love and where good works are poured out to the whole world, to sinners who are in desperate need. He says, if you're not in this place of living in my kingdom, you know what the only alternative is? Is that you have placed yourself with the old liar, the devil, and you're being deceived into being part of his punishment. You know, that's stupid. That anyone would end up there. You know, this isn't for you. What I have for you is a kingdom of love and grace, and where good works are flowing out to all those around you, because I love each and every one of them. But if you're going to live in the lie of the devil and in the sin and in everything the devil is all about, you end up with him. So that's the great separation. Jesus the King, where grace is and where love is, and the old liar and punishment. And that's what will happen at the end of the world. Jesus says that the righteous, the ones on his right side, the ones who have been blessed since God made the world, those ones will go into eternal life. They'll live forever. See, this is just something we don't even fathom. When somebody says this, eternal life, or when we read this in the scripture, we don't even know what that means. And Paul tells us that that's because we live in this world. We see things dimly. We're looking like through a dark glass, and we just see a faint outline of these kind of things. But that's not going to be the case forever. When this great event takes place, when we see Jesus, John tells us that when we see him, we're going to be like him. For we will see him as he is. And on that moment, everything will be crystal clear. And we're going to know what eternal life is for sure. We're not going to be looking at it like it's a strange thing, like I don't even know what to do with that concept. No, on that day, we're going to know, because it's going to be reality. And the amazing thing is that for Christians, for us, this is already a reality. We're seated already in heaven. We already have eternal life. We just don't quite know what it's all about yet. And that's going to be revealed to us. And it's going to be made clear. And so as we look forward to that great day when Jesus comes back, we celebrate the fact that in Jesus, the world already ended. He is the end of this world. He dealt with sin. He dealt with death. He dealt with the devil. Everything has been conquered. All those things have been conquered. And Jesus Christ reigns. Jesus Christ is the King. And he reigns forever. And we're going to see him. He's going to come. And we will see him. And everyone will see him. Paul tells us that every eye will behold him. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful for both the warning and the encouragement that we received today. And we praise you for your wonderful word.